From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the April 30th edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The state statisticians will tell us about corn planting progress or lack thereof across the nation. And we'll hear from Emerson Nafziger. He says it's time for concern, but not panic, at least as it relates to the planting progress in the state of Illinois. Along the way today, we'll also take a look at the weather forecast. That'll happen with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures finished the nearby May contract for the soft red winter wheat a dozen cents higher, or up 12, at $7.21¾. July at $7.31, a settlement price, up 14.5 for the harvest month. The hard red in Kansas City finished at $7.89¼. That was up 13¾ for the hard red winter wheat. May futures in the corn pit, $6.83¼, settlement price there. Down 0.75 cents today. July at 6.50, down 9¾. September at 5.80¼, down 4.5. And December corn, 5.56¾, 2¾ lower. March contract at 5.67, up 2.5 cents, or rather down 2.5 cents. And the May corn at 5.74¾, it too settled down 2.5 cents. May bean futures were down 4 at $14.67¾. July at 13.99, 9¾ lower. And the August at 13.39¾. Down 5¼ cents. September at 12.64¾, 5.5 lower. And November beans at 12.23½, down 5¾. January contract 12.30¾, 5¼ lower. Bean meal futures finished at 4.28.30, down 3.10. Bean oil at 49.13, 33 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April contract at 128.40. That's up 70 cents. June at 121.90, down 65. August feeders at 148.90, 97.5 cents lower. And the June lean hogs at $92.57, finished 42.5 cents higher on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's take a look at the outside markets as they settled up. June crude oil at $93.32 a barrel. We're down $1.18. RBOB gas leaner wholesale price at $2.80¼, down 2¼. And the ethanol at $2.58, just about 0.9 cents higher. The difference between the two is now 22¼ cents. That's 3.5 cents narrower than it was yesterday on the spread. June natural gas at $4.34¾, 4¼ lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel down 2¼ at $2.87¾. And gold futures on the afternoon at $4.70 higher, finished $1,472.10 per troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 81.74. That's down 0.40 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. It's come from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, calling for beautiful sunny skies and a high of 82 degrees on a south wind at 17 miles an hour, that a gust of 26. Clear this evening and 59, sunny tomorrow and 84. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 58. Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 73. Thursday night showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, a low of 49. A percent chance of precipitation Thursday evening in the area, 60%. Friday showers are likely, a high of just 61. Friday night showers, cloudy and 46. Saturday showers and 61. Saturday night showers and 45. Sunday showers, then mostly cloudy, and 64 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Tuesday afternoon, the 30th day of April. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Wayne, it was a turnaround Tuesday, but turnaround meant we finally finished up lower for the afternoon.
Yeah, I did, Todd. There was a lot less enthusiasm today, and it really culminated pretty much near the close today. Yesterday with the noon report, where we saw that, funds had bought about 12,000 contracts of corn, and today at noon they'd only bought 2,000. So a lot of that had subsided a lot. The get-me-out orders were somewhat done. And, you know, we have moved to nice new highs, I mean, basically along the way. We got up as high as 570 on corn last night for fall corn. 570 to 75 was our goal to where we thought we could bounce back to with some sort of weather scare. November beans got to 1240, closed around 1223, but we were hoping for 1250 there, but didn't quite make it today.
Cash bids are still hunting down old crop for both. If you've got clients with old crop corn or beans left, do you think they ought to make some sales?
Oh, I think, you know, a little bit of catch up here is very wise. It's going to it could get very, very tight, later on in the summer. But these are some awfully good prices back again. You know, I think we were, you know, above $7 in corn again for cash corn. Beans were back over 15 very easily. And basically, those are good numbers.
When you look forward, the weather forecast holds rain and cold temperatures for the Midwest. How much of a difference will that make in Chicago?
Well, you know, today is probably the first time that I can remember when they're taking the wheat tour and they're worried about what frost damage is going to come after they're done with the wheat tour. That tells you, you know, that we haven't looked at this situation in a very long time. Basically, along the way, we're going to keep an eye on the weather forecast and see. You know, we got some variations. I mean, the American model and the European model differed there this morning, the American model being a little drier and more friendly to planting, and the European model a little wetter. You know, we're going to keep an eye on that and see what it looks like, but it's going to be hard-fought battles from here on up for a while, unless we can sort of ensure themselves that there isn't going to be much corn planted by the 10th of May.
So from Thursday on, at least in our area, it looks like there might be some rainfall. Will anybody be moving in your area by then?
You know, there's a chance we could see a little bit of stuff going on, but everybody I talked to today said it would be at least Thursday morning before they got in the field down here, and then it would be maybe spreading some fertilizer. Talked to some up in northern Illinois, and they said all their fertilizer trucks were stuck.
That's not surprising, I don't suppose. It can be a terrible hurry to try to get the fertilizer on and get things ready to go, and sometimes you just go too quickly, I suppose.
Yeah, it looks dry on top in some areas, but unless you're on some pretty sandy soil, well, you're a couple days away.
All right. Are you terribly worried at this point, or do you think we have enough days left to really put a corn crop in the ground?
You know, we've got some awfully big machinery, and it isn't going to go in as timely as usual, but we've got a whole month to try to fit this stuff in the ground here and still be somewhat timely, Todd, so I'm not quite shook yet.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Hey, have you visited our website? I hope so. If not, try it out now, willag.org. That's willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows just 5% of the corn has been planted nationwide. That's only one percentage point more than the week before and lags way behind the 31% rolling five-year average. Here are the state statisticians from the top five corn-growing states in the nation with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa field office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 28, 2013. The week began with cool, wet conditions, but dry and warmer weather across Iowa late in the week allowed field work to resume. Farmers were able to do some tillage and apply fertilizers and herbicides during the 2 days that were suitable for field work. Some producers were also able to get a few acres of corn planted as fields dried out. Statewide, 2% of the corn is in the ground, while in a normal year, 36% would have been planted by April 28th. Temperature extremes varied from a Wednesday morning low of 21 degrees at Sibley to a Sunday, April 28th afternoon high of 86 degrees at Sioux City. The Sunday highs were the first temperature readings in the 80s for 2013 and marked the latest start to 80-degree weather in the state since 1993. For the week, temperatures averaged 4.5 degrees below normal, and rain totals varied from less than one-tenth of an inch at Dubuque to more than 2 inches at Underwood. The additional rainfall pushed the statewide average precipitation for the month of April to a record high 6.25 inches. Topsoil moisture levels rated 90% adequate to surplus, with the surplus category declining from 31% to 14%. Meanwhile, subsoil moisture levels continue to improve and are now rated at 56% adequate to surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa field office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I'm reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 28th. Illinois had more cold and wet weather last week. Farming activities were severely limited, and almost zero planting was done because of cold and wet soils across the state. Temperatures were more than 6 degrees below normal, and rainfall was almost 1/4 inch above normal. Overall, there were just 0.3 days suitable for field work last week. The state average rainfall last week was 1.07 inches. Northern and western areas generally got less than 1 inch of rain, while the rest of the state was more than 1 inch. After 2 wet weeks in a row, Illinois topsoil moisture increased to 45% adequate and 55% surplus. Subsoil moisture was reported as 3% short, 72% adequate, and 25% surplus. We did receive some reports of limited planting in the central part of the state on sandy soils, but the total acreage planted last week was insignificant. Corn planting remained stalled at 1% complete compared to 76% last year and 36% for the five-year average. Oats planting inched ahead to 32% complete compared to 79% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 2% poor, 21% fair, 61% good, and 16% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending April 28, 2013. Rain early in the week combined with below normal temperatures to limit field work until the weekend when conditions warmed and soils began to dry. Moisture accumulations near 1 inch were common across the southeastern third of the state. However, precipitation was again limited in many western counties where soil moisture profiles are depleted. Statewide corn planting was finally underway and was 3% complete. However, field work was limited to only 3 days considered suitable for field work. Wheat conditions rated 14% very poor, 30% poor, 44% fair, 12% good, and 0% excellent. The amount of winter wheat jointed was 6%, well behind last year in average. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Kerry Siekman, Survey Coordinator for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the Weekly Crop Weather Report for the week ending April 28, 2013. Warmer temperatures finally arrived during the week. Warmer weather rapidly melted snow, and flooding is still a concern, especially along the Red River. very limited field work has begun on higher ground and well-drained fields. Muddy conditions led to difficulty moving livestock and slow pasture growth. Common farm activities were applying fertilizer, calving, and equipment maintenance. There were 0.4 days rated suitable for field work statewide, compared with last year's 4.2 days and the average of 3.4 days. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 15% short, 64% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 13% very short, 37% short, 47% adequate, and 3% surplus. Producers continue to anticipate full-scale fieldwork statewide to begin on May 7th. For the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, this is Kerry Siekman.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 28th. Total precipitation ranged from 43 one-hundredths of an inch to 2.41 inches, leaving only one day suitable for field work during the week. The continued rainfall has left saturated soils and standing water across most of the state, with many areas experiencing flooding along rivers and streams. Temperatures were as much as 9 degrees below normal during the week, with fairly widespread frost reported. The 4-inch soil temperature has not warmed up much in the last few weeks and is hovering around 50 degrees. Corn planted acreage remained at 1% complete, which is approximately 21 days behind the 5-year average pace. Last year, 67% of the corn acreage had been planted by this time. Planting of soybeans remained on hold again this week. Standing water has caused some damage to winter wheat fields. However, 70% of the wheat crop is reported to be in good to excellent condition. 47% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed behind both last year when 85% of the crop was jointed and 60% for the 5-year average. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates during the growing season. Well, as you just heard, corn planting across the nation, including in the state of Illinois, is way behind schedule. And while that is concerning, University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Knapsiger says it's not quite time to panic, at least yet.
Well, just 2 years ago in 2011, we sat there at 10% planted. At least we got some planted early in April, and then the first 2 weeks of May, we got most of the crop planted. The problem right now as we look at the weather forecast is that it doesn't look like it's going to happen that fast, and we need warm and dry both coming in and staying here for a while. So far, that's not really in the forecast. And so it's not, the biggest problem is not that we don't have much planted right now. It's that looking ahead, it looks like progress is going to continue to be slow for a while. We do have to put this into perspective. If you look at what's happened in the past, early planting doesn't assure high yields and late planting doesn't assure low yields. So it's a little bit, it's always a difficult thing to call what the effect of this is going to be. If we can still make good progress and get planted, mostly planted by the middle or 20th of May, we're still not going to be in too bad a shape. As we were showed last year very clearly, what happens during the seasons, particularly June, July, August, is a lot more important than when we get planted. And so certainly we haven't ruled out the chance of a good crop by this late start. We certainly haven't guaranteed ourselves a poor crop, nor have we shown that we're going to get a good crop. But if we get good rainfall during the season, I think we will get a good crop yet this year. Will it be a record breaker? If you look back at our highest yields we've ever had, it's a real mixed how they start the season. So it's what happens again during the middle of the season that makes the most difference. If you look at the research that we've done, we have tried to make estimates of the effect of delayed planting on yields, and it accelerates as we move through May. Today, we're down at only a few tenths of a percent per day of delay. So by the time we get the first third of May, I think we calculated at about a half a percent per day. The second third, about 0.7%, and then the third third, about 0.9%. And if you look at the cumulative effect of that, it looks scarier then that we're looking at maybe 15% cumulative loss if we get to the 20th of May and about 25% cumulative loss if we get to the end of May. Well, nobody expects us to, plant into June, although it certainly has happened before. I guess the way I would put it, the longer we go, the more unlikely it is that, the season will be so favorable that it'll get us to high yields or as high a yields as we would have had if we could have started on time. Now, on the other side of it, April was not a very kind month, and the little bit of crop that we did get planted there in the first week of April, just managing to struggle up now, and where it's been really wet and with water standing on the field, some of that may not make it at all. So it's not like getting it planted all a month ago would have given us some great advantage here. And we do know from experience that early May can be a good time to plant. So we hope that it breaks free and lets us get started.
Producers will want to move into the field quickly, but you advise, generally speaking, against that.
Well, we just have to use our common sense. It's never a really great thing to mud corn in, but I suppose, in fairness, by the time we get to, say, late May or something, the sort of what have we got to lose sets in, and we might be out there sort of mudding it in and going around the wet spots and this sort of thing. I think that's kind of, I call that the time to do desperate things, and we're certainly not there yet. One of the questions will be, if we get some good drying days, it's going to look dry over the surface. Of course, we're all going to know that it isn't dry very far down. Our soil temperatures really haven't reached the point yet where they're going to dry quickly to any depth below just the top surface when we get some wind and some higher temperatures. So it will dry eventually, but the temptation now is going to be to go out there and do what we have to help ourselves pretend that we're doing a good job of planting. You know, if you could go out there with a tillage implement and it really would be too wet, then it's probably too wet to plant as well. Now, we do have some people that had acreage ready to plant back 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they might want to go out with stale seed bed. But the same thing still applies. Going out when the soil's too wet is going to cause compaction. If we could keep that compaction to between the rows, we get a little bit of an advantage. But even putting the seed in a furrow, opening a furrow, is a compacting operation if the soils are too wet. And so we're all going to be better off if we can afford to wait until it's dry enough to really go and then hit it hard and plant fast.
Compaction then is a concern. Does it matter very much what the weather is like after the fact?
Well, it matters a great deal. In fact, compaction probably hurts us very little, if any, if we have wet seasons, wet growing seasons. The biggest problem with compaction is that it can restrict root growth. And in our soils, roots don't have to be out extensively in the soil to pick up enough moisture if we continue to get good rainfall. If we have another year like we had last year where rainfall becomes really a limitation, then any compaction we do at this point is going to hurt us even more.
That's University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Napsiger. I spoke with him yesterday morning. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Robert Fitzroy died. A British naval officer and meteorologist, Fitzroy devised a storm warning system that was the prototype of the daily weather forecast. He also invented a barometer and published the weather book.
In 1872, Louis Pasteur lectured at the French Academy of Science in support of his germ theory of disease, in which he held that many diseases were caused by tiny organisms. In 1904, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition opened in St. Louis. It was at the fair that the ice cream cone was reported to be invented. The hot dog and iced tea were also popularized at the fair. In 1952, Mr. Potato Head is introduced to the world. The original Mr. Potato contained 70 body parts. The parents had to supply children with real potatoes for the body. Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television, and the advertising blitz netted Hasbro more than $100 million in the first year of production. Mrs. Potato Head came a year later in 1953. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is here. Don, it's been very cold where you've been the last two times we called. Let's start there, and then you can work your way into the Midwest, where I suppose it'll still be raining.
Yeah, I tell you, Todd, almost nothing has changed. And since we talked last, the weather pattern again has brought in another big wedge of Arctic air. Yes, Arctic air in late April and early May, it's been somewhat modified, but we're looking at temperatures in the nation's midsection that will be as much as 20 to 30 degrees below normal heading into the next couple of days. Once again, we're going to see some late spring snow spread across portions of the east slopes of the Rockies. It will snow in portions of western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, western areas of Kansas, eastern Nebraska, western Iowa, northeast Kansas, even down in Oklahoma. Could see some snow here in the first couple of days of May, and all of this cold and wet will settle into the western Corn Belt and central Corn Belt areas. So we're looking at no improvement, no warm-up, and conditions are going to continue to be wet.
Wet conditions. We do have a little warm-up here today. It's awfully nice and sunshine, but I guess that's going to go away by when? What day this week?
Well, it's going to be a slow-moving system. I think we're going to start to see temperatures start to get pushed down beginning Thursday, and more so as we get on into Friday and Saturday. A lot of question marks with this storm into the Midwest on exactly where it's going to go. Odds are is it's going to meander. And if it does, this is going to really impact the western Corn Belt. I think Ohio, Indiana, and maybe even to some extent eastern Illinois will be on the warmer side of the system initially. But Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, those areas, as well as Minnesota, Wisconsin, going to see continuation of well below normal temperatures and what will be some significant precipitation.
How far below normal in the temps?
As much as 20 to 30 degrees. These are temperatures that are really off the charts. And I think we're going to be talking more and more about this as we go into the next 10 days, is there is still no really big warm-up coming. And I think this is going to become more and more of a concern. When we look at soil temperatures, we still have temperatures still well below 50 degrees at the 4-inch depth over most of the western and northern Corn Belt with really no significant warming in sight.
Yeah, with 20 to 30 degrees below normal on the daytime highs and certainly the nighttime lows, those temperatures aren't going to come up at all.
They're not. And with the ground being wet in many areas, that adds to the coolness in the air with the evaporative process of that moisture evaporating or trying to back into the air. It sort of feeds on itself a little bit after a while. So we've got to really see things change. And at least for another week or 10 days, we're going to still be watching this weather pattern sort of stuck in gear. Hopefully in a week to 10 days, the longer daylight hours, the deeper we go into spring, things will start to warm up north. But I do think we're starting and have over the last couple of weeks seen the impacts of the deep snow cover and the cold that lingered into Canada and many areas of the northern plains in March and in early April, and that's affected air masses up north, and that's what's coming in now.
Well, hopefully when we talk to you again next week, Don, we'll have warmer news to talk about.
Yes, we are looking at the polar opposite of where we talked a year ago. Hot, dry, and now we've gone on the complete end of the other spectrum.
Hey, thanks so much. Don Day is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for this agricultural... Thank you.